enter the presence of God. There's a code of behavior. There's proprieties. There's a modus operandi. There is a procedure. There's a mode of operation, a protocol for prayer. So what is the protocol for prayer? How do we approach the Lord? Most Christians can only relate to God on the basis of asking. Most Christians can only relate to God on the basis of asking. They even wrote a book one time, Prayer, Asking. Well, hallelujah, that's true. But I'm here to tell you, there's more to approaching God than merely asking. And I'm not diminishing the value of asking, but believe you me, I'm not diminishing that at all. I'm just saying there's more to it. So look in Psalm 100. Psalm 100, here we find three of these prayer protocols. And I want to give you, first of all, the gratitude protocol. The gratitude protocol. Your initial approach toward heaven must always be with gratitude. And hear this tremendous psalm, Psalm 100. What a tremendous psalm. I love these psalms. They're really songs, you know. So look at Psalm 100. Let's just stand to our feet and we'll read it out loud together. And I'll get you started and let you read it out loud together and see how good you are at unified reading. Psalm 100, think about this concept of prayer's protocols as we read Psalm 100, all five verses. Verse 1, make a joyful noise. You can be seated. Thank you very, very much. Now, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with what? It's the gratitude protocol. Now, the gates are really like the doors. And we're to come before the Lord with thanksgiving. We're to approach God with gratitude. Somebody said you can take things for granted or you can take things with gratitude, but you can't take them both ways. And the way you approach God is always not taking anything for granted, but taking it with gratitude. Don't get so busy adding up your troubles that you forget to count your blessings. Don't get so busy tabulating your troubles that you forget to count your blessings. Psalm 116, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise. Sometimes your emotions are not in gear, but I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's the gratitude protocol. I have a friend back home. He's 53 years old. He surrendered to vocational Christian service 30 years ago at a prayer advance. We had eight fellas that year that quit their careers and went into ministry. He became a camp director. He was a dear friend. He had 9 children, 53 years old. And at 3:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, he had a heart attack and he dropped dead. Now, I've been grieving about it. I've been upset about it. I don't like death. I don't like suffering. I don't like the family having to suffer. I'm just being honest with you here this evening. And sometimes it's a sacrifice to thank God. But I listened to the service from the church where he attended this morning. And here's what the pastor said. He finished strong. And I thought, thank God he didn't train wreck it at the end of the day. He finished up strong. Brother, he went out on a high note. And I'm going with that. I'm just going with that. And you know, I will praise the Lord. I'll enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now God gives and God forgives and we should give thanks. I said, God gives and God forgives, and we should give thanks. When God gives you something, you ought to thank him. When God forgives you, you ought to thank him. You know, you ought to consider your present condition in light of your former you ought to consider your present position in light of your former condition. Now, if you ever get into a pity party and getting feeling sorry for yourself and under the juniper tree with Elijah, I said, you ought to consider your present position in Christ in light of your former condition in Adam. And that's enough to get you out of the mully grubs right there. Amen. Now listen, not only thank God for forgiving you the sins you have committed, you ought to thank God for the sins you didn't commit. You might have done bad, but you could have done a lot worse. You know, I'm thankful I didn't do any worse than I did. Amen. You say, well, you messed up. I didn't do as bad as I could have done. And that's the grace of God. That's the hand of God. That's the restraining of God. What you have done is insignificant compared to what you could have done. And sometimes we need to go on a quarantine of thanksgiving. I think I spoke to you about that first time I was here. Just take 3 days and not ask for anything. Just take 3 days and thank God for everything you can think of. You say, well, what if I need something? Well, just go ahead and thank God for it before it shows up. If you need a job, ask him and start thanking. Lord, thank you that you're going to provide. You got a kid that's away from the Lord. Thank you that you're going to send the Holy Spirit to rescue. I mean, whatever you need. You got a sickness? Thank God for healing you. I mean, why not? Let's just go on a little quarantine. Every now and then, it helps us to get our minds in a proper perspective if we'll practice gratitude. Philippians 4, verse 8. The Bible says, whatsoever things are what? Who knows that verse? Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are? See, I forgot too. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are lovely. If there's any virtue, if there's any joy, praise, dwell on these things. Well, I found myself in a pit a couple years ago. A fella told me that I ought to pull out those descriptions in Philippians 4, 8 and qualify every thought I allowed to dwell in my mind. So I put them on a sheet of paper. Pure. Just, honest, good report, all those things. I put eight of them. I think it's eight of them. I put them down there. So I was in such a bad frame of mind. It took me 30 minutes to come up with anything that that qualified as being lovely, honest, just, because I was so consumed with the things that were not good. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And you better not go majoring on everything that's wrong. You better go majoring on everything that's right. And you better qualify the thoughts you allow into your mind or you'll get in bad shape. Trust me, I know. So after 30 minutes, it took me, I come up with two things. You know what I came up with? That qualified for thoughts? Jesus and heaven. That's the only thing I could think of that was just and good and pure and excellent. So I proceeded in this. Now, after about 2 weeks, I was able to, and I mean, I really had to, I had such a negative outlook, I really had to search, and I could come up with scriptures, but after about 4 weeks, I began to think, hey, wait a minute, just, I belong to the Marriott Rewards, and you know what? When they tell you they're going to give you some free nights, they give you some free nights. So I put that down on my list as an example of somebody that was just. At least one corporation is not out to rip you off. Anybody ever feel like that other than me sometimes? But there's more than one. And you know, after about 6 or 8 weeks, man, I could reel off all kinds of things that qualified that were worthy of thought. And I'll tell you what, when you enter into his gates with thanksgiving, when you have the gratitude protocol, it will help you. Thanksgiving is always in season. It's always in season. And when you can't pray, and sometimes you can't pray, if you're like me, sometimes you get so burdened and so bogged down and you don't know what to do. I live out in the country. Thank God I live out in the country. That's all I'm going to say, but there's traffic around here in Alameda and Havana and Cuba and who knows what else you got here. Man, I got lost coming over here tonight. But, you know, I live out in the country. I live like way out in the country. And I got a little road going down to our office, our world famous headquarters. Amen. And I'm going down to our office. And that's an inside joke. And going down to our office. And sometimes I get out there going down to that office. And you know what I do? It's just me out there with the animals. And I'm out there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And I just walk around out there and have myself a time. And if a trespasser comes along, he might get converted. Amen. Who knows what might happen. But what I'm telling you is when you can't pray, you can enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Oh, dear one, listen to me tonight. Gratitude to God makes even a temporal blessing a taste of heaven, said Romaine. He who forgets the language of gratitude can never be on speaking terms with happiness, said Neil Strait, the gratitude protocol. So it's always appropriate to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So here's the way I'm going to look at it. My friend lived 53 years. I had him for a friend for about 30. I'm thanking God for that. My father passed on when he was 90. And a friend of mine said, Harold, I was grieving. You know, some people just seem to get over stuff good. I ain't geared that way. I wish I was more like that. But my father died, and you know what my friend said? He said, Harold, my dad died at 63. You ought to thank God you had him for 90 years. And I said, that's exactly right. Couldn't open, man. Thank God for the 90 years. Stand to your feet. Grab somebody by the hand. 2 minutes of Thanksgiving protocol. 2 minutes of practicing. By the way, we're not going to talk about prayer. We're going to do praying. Stand to your feet. Get with one person. 2 minutes of Thanksgiving. 1 minute each. Just find somebody right there and pray out loud, thanking God for everything you can think of. 2 minutes of prayer. Go. Don't talk, just start praying, thanking God. 2 minutes. Second person pray. 60 seconds. Thanksgiving. Oh, Father, thank you for so many blessings. God, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. Thank you, Lord, that my friend is in the presence of the Lamb. Father, thank you that he's rejoicing. And thank you for sending comfort to all that are hurting. Lead us tonight as we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, number two, we're going to talk about the clean protocol, the cleansing protocol. Fellas, you give me a little more monitor, I'd appreciate it very much. The clean protocol. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who's going to enter into the presence of God? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. It's the clean protocol. It says in James chapter 4, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Every move toward heaven is reciprocated. Every move you make toward God, he moves back toward you. Draw nigh to God, the Bible says in James chapter 4. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's the clean protocol. God's holy. And so if we're going to approach God, We gotta come with the cleansing in proper place. Now the word clean means innocent, spotless, or guiltless. Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. It's the clean protocol. Tozer said, when God declares a man righteous, he instantly sets about to make him righteous. And when you got saved, you're declared, by the way, there's no positional truth, it's actual truth. When the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ, that's not just your position, that's the actual truth. You know the problem with our bunch? We don't believe it. We have a strong theology of depravity, but a very weak theology of victory. And I'm just here to tell you, brother, it's time for the hallelujah to come back into the house of God. And I'm just telling you, if we knew what we had in Jesus and had some idea of the treasure we have in earthen vessels, I'm telling you, it would liberate us to praise the Lord, because it's the clean protocol. Now notice it says clean hands. It doesn't say cleaner. It says clean. Not cleaner, but clean. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I grew up on a tobacco farm in Southside, Virginia. Now, I know Colorado, y'all grow different crops out here than we do back home. And tobacco is better than what y'all are doing, by the way. I just throw that in for what it's worth. But anyhow, tobacco is a messy business. Now, there's two types of tobacco. One, you cut the whole stalk down. The other one, you pick the leaves off from the bottom to the top. Sequentially, we had the bright, that kind. So we'd go through the field and you bend over and we called it pulling tobacco, but it's actually picking the leaves off. And you pick the leaves off, throw them up under your arm, and you just go through it down the row like that till you get an arm load. Then you go to the trailer thing and throw them over in there, and then you take them to the barn, string them up, and you cure them, and that's the way you do it. Well, tobacco has nicotine. And I want to say this. Nicotine is like health food compared to the poisons and the chemicals they put on them. I wouldn't be so scared of nicotine as I would of all the other junk that they put on those things. But tobacco also has tar. It has tar. And it's just like asphalt. I mean, it's just like tar. It's literally tar. That's why people that smoke, their lungs turn black with tar. Well, at the end of a sweltering day of picking tobacco, man, we'd do it with short sleeves. And you know what would happen? That tar would accumulate on our arms. And if you have hairy arms, then it would get on there about so thick. Now, I'm a dark guy, but I'm a white guy. But after all of that, man, I'm telling you, it was solid black as asphalt. So, around 11 o'clock at night, hop in the shower with the lava soap. How many know what lava soap is? Really? Great, yeah. And then we had a scrub net. And we'd go to work. And we'd rub that. It'd take 45 minutes to dislodge that tar from off our arm. About 45 minutes to get all that mess off. It was just, I mean, as thick as it could be. And then after it was off, we were discolored with nicotine. We looked like we were jaundiced. I mean, we had this yellow thing on here. But you know, after 45 minutes in the shower, whenever we got out of that thing, it sure felt good to be clean. And I want to tell you, it feels good to be clean by the blood of Jesus. Boy, it feels good, don't it? Amen. Hey, don't get so sophisticated you're afraid of all feelings. God help you. Get your pointing nose. I'm going to help you tonight if you'll let me. Listen to this. Jesus bore our sin that we might have his righteousness. He took our guilt that we might have his grace. He took our shame that we might have his smile. He took our punishment that we might have his peace. He took our death that we might have his life. He took our penalty that we might have his pardon. Oh man, what can wash away my sin? Brother, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. So the Baptists, what we've done for 50 years is we've tried to get people to do better, rededicate, improve, try harder. We should have been preaching the gospel the whole time, and that would have taken care of the whole thing, right? Amen? And I know there's some discipline to it, but I'm just telling you, the gospel is not good advice, it's good news. Now, righteousness is conformity to the divine law. Listen to S.L. Bringle. He's a salvationist. Some of those guys had it. Go ahead and say amen on that point right there, Brother Craig. Go ahead and say it out loud. I want to hear you say it, brother. Listen to this. He said, righteousness is conformity to the divine law. But holiness is conformity to the divine nature. How do you get clean? You get clean by coming clean. That's how you get clean. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Oh, listen to this. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that means. It means to agree with God and say the same thing about sin that God says about it. And can I tell you, you only need to confess your sins one time. Never confess the same sin twice. Because if you confess it twice, you didn't believe God forgave you, and you're disbelieving the word of God when he says, if you confess it and admit it and agree with him, he will forgive you. Never confess the same sin twice. And then after you've confessed your sin, immediately launch out into the gratitude protocol. Don't make any difference how you feel. If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. I told them up at the camp, how to have a quick recovery. Proverbs 28:13. He that covers, conceals his sin will not prosper. Person hiding his sin, he ain't going anywhere. But whosoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. You know how you get a quick recovery when you messed up? Admit it, quit it, forget it. He that confesseth, admit it, and forsaketh, quit it, shall have mercy, forget it. Oh, I want to tell you, quit walking around with all of these regrets about whatever messes you made in the past. It's out of God's sight. It's out of God's mind. He don't even know what you're talking about. When he looks at you, he has to look through the blood of his son to get to you. So look, how many think that Baptists ought to start believing what the Word of God says? Quit trying to figure everything, analyzing everything to death. Quit it. Quit it. Admit it, quit it, forget it. That's good Southern preaching right there. And launch into the laws of protocol by thanking him and praising him. So, let's do this. Let's have the clean protocol. Now, if there's anything that's clouding your conscience, you got to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And I want to tell you something. The blood can cleanse the conscience from dead works. When you go to bed tonight, you ought to be regretting some mess up. You ought to be rejoicing that God's got you covered through the blood. So if there's anything at all that's standing in your conscience between you and God, just say, Lord, I did this. Whatever it is, I confess it. Thank you for forgiving me. Bow your head. Bow your head. Let's have a minute or two of practicing the clean protocol. Just everybody by themselves. Acknowledgement of any unconfessed sins. Just get it all out. Bring it all out. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Father, thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, the clean protocol, the thanksgiving or the gratitude protocol, but protocol number three is the praise protocol. Now look in Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with... What does this mean? Laud and honor. It's recognizing, paying tribute. It's a claim. It's glorifying God. Psalm 100 verse 1, look what it says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Listen to this one. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Most Baptist churches, the only shout they ever hear is when somebody at the Christmas play comes out of the bathroom with toilet paper hanging out the back of their pants. That's the only time you get a shout in most Baptist churches. I'm just telling you. But my Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Huh, man, if a word of discouragement opens the door for the enemy, then a word of praise closes it and locks it. Now, I'm going to help you tonight, if you'll let me. John the Baptist, boy, that was something when you talked about those babies, man. Here we are. But John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from the womb. You say, how does that work? I have absolutely no idea. So here he is in Elizabeth's womb, right? Here comes Mary with the Son of God in her womb. And when old John, full of the Holy Ghost in the womb, comes into the proximity of the deity, the deified Son of God in her womb, he leapt in her womb. Amen. I'm trying to help y'all tonight. Amen. Y'all mighty tight out here in the West. I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm telling you, the presence of God calls for a little exhilaration every now and then. Calls for a little animation every now and then. Calls for a little excitement every now and then. Amen. Man, I was in the hotel room. I plugged in a choir that I like. You probably wouldn't, but I like it. And I plugged that thing in and I was in there having me a big time. It was just me and Jesus in there, man. Yeah. Oh, listen, friend, the praise protocol. Somebody said praise is faith set to music. Burlington Revival. 6,000 people in the tent. I went out one night. The tent was full, 1,000 people in 95 degrees and 100% humidity. The cow got out of the barn. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Two teenage boys in front of me with their hats on backwards, 15 years old, standing up and praising God. And that don't happen everywhere I go. I can assure you that don't happen everywhere I go. You say, well, that was a bunch of emotionalism. Well, the presence of God evokes strong emotions. And there ain't no way that God can touch your heart in a deep way without you being moved and stirred at some level. That's why I like the prayer advance atmosphere. Especially back home, we've been doing it so long. I'm telling you, you can't hold back when you get in that atmosphere. Not even the BJ graduates can hold back when they get in that atmosphere, brother. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to be critical. Not even the Northland graduates can hold back, John. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, it's just what an atmosphere. Oh, David, you know, he got carried away one time and danced before the Lord, didn't he? He got all excited. His wife didn't like it. Don't be like her. She was smitten with barrenness. If you never get so full, sometimes you can't stand it. You're full of the wrong thing. Now, every now and then, and I know it's not all, I know all that. You don't have to tell me that. But, you take a football game, 22 below zero, the boys got their shirts off, got their bodies painted orange and blue, got their hair colored, and they're screaming like a bunch of idiots, and nobody thinks it's abnormal. And I just want to tell you, if you're more excited about the Broncos than the Son of God, you got the wrong source of excitement. I like Jesus, I'm telling you. I just like Jesus. And sometimes we need the high praises of God on our lips. Surely if you're redeemed, you got the right to praise God every now and then. The man said at the prayer advance, I've heard this my whole life, the charismatics robbed the Baptists of praise. They did not. They did not rob anybody. We defaulted all by ourselves and quit being a victim and blaming some extremist for your lack of fire. Go ahead and say amen on that point right there. I'm sick of this white shirt, stiff neck kind of crowd sitting around criticizing everything under the sun with not an ounce of joy. Old Massingham was telling us about his church. They go wild out there, brother. They go wild out there. And, you know, I was in a tent revival one time, and I don't like emotionalism. I despise working up a crowd. I despise trying to drum up something. But when it's on and when it's real, I'm right there with it the whole way. There's a revival going on in Greenville, Tennessee. Country people, simple people, 79 churches represented under the tent the other night. 39 people got saved under the tent one night. People get saved every night under the tent. All God's, by the way, when revival comes, all God's children show up. You don't have to be twins to be brothers. You say, well, that high church crowd, well, if they're blood-bought, they're our brothers. That excitable bunch, if they're blood-bought, they're our brothers. The salvationist, if they're blood-bought, they're our brothers. Heaven's going to be a shock for some people. They're not going to feel at home unless something happens. And I'll tell you, a revival atmosphere will cure you of a lot of this kind of stuff. Because secondary things don't amount to a whole lot, brother. Secondary things. Main things, Jesus, amen. That's some fundamentals that we're not going to negotiate about. We're not going to negotiate about 10 things. We're not going to negotiate. But I'm telling you, all the other stuff, when Jesus is in the midst, I'm just telling you, the high praises of God are on the lips of the people. By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. A thank offering. C.S. Lewis said, praise is boasting about what you enjoy. Opening your mouth in thanksgiving and praise. Instead of counting your bruises, try counting your blessings. Listen to this one. A drop of praise is an unsuitable acknowledgement for an ocean of mercy. I don't know about you, but God's had so much mercy on me. I failed so much in my life, and I'm not going to go back and dwell on all of that. I'm just here to tell you, I'm thankful for the forgiving grace of God. Peter Anderson said the best atmosphere for prayer is praise. That's why it says enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come before his courts with praise. J.I. Packer said praise energizes and renews praying. Now listen, when men cease to praise God, they begin to praise each other excessively. And I can't stand it. I go to places, I told them up at the camp, I go to places and they introduce me, Dr. Vaughn. And then they commenced, they never even met me. And then they commenced to use all these flowery words and such a build up. And I'm sitting out there thinking, man, I can't wait to hear this guy. Who are they talking about? I mean, and then sometimes I say to my wife, do you know how good you've got it? Listen to what this guy's saying up here. Now look, let your boast be in the Lord. Thank God for good people. Thank God for friends. But brother, we got to keep the praise on the Lord. Now praise is going to be your chief employment in heaven. My friend Stanley, he's up there right now having at it. He's at it. My friend Foster Covington lost his wife. She's up there. She's at it. My pastor friend Jerry Hill buried him in February. He's up there. He was a reserve sort. He ain't reserve no more. He's up there at it. My friend Jimmy Stollard, the preacher, and lung cancer, he's up there. Now listen to this. Revelation 4, the 24 elders fall down before him who sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, if praise is going to be your chief employment in heaven, you ought to make it your noblest work on earth. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing wrong with praising God. There's something right about praising God. Now, a worship service is choir practice for heaven. You ever been to a Muslim country? Those hideous calls to prayer. And it blaring over the thing. You're thinking, man, alive, that's enough to give you a heart attack or a breakdown. But the Christians, what do? They sing melodious praises to God. Now, why is the Christian religion a singing religion? Because the praise protocol. Now, notice all the blood songs in the Bible. They're all happy songs. You ever notice that? And they were all written in revival. They're the best ones. So if you find it difficult to praise the Lord for what's going on, praise him for what is yet to be. Sometimes you praise God when you feel like it, and sometimes you got to praise God until you feel like it. Because I don't always feel like praising God. Well, let's practice the praise protocol, shall we? Stand to your feet. 60 seconds if you can hold it. Every mouth open with the high praises of God. Praise God for everything you can think about him. Just open up your mouth and praise him. Father, praise you for the Holy Spirit. Father, pray. Go ahead and pray. Everybody pray out loud. Lord, praise you for your goodness. Thank you for your son. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind, so merciful, incredibly forgiving, Lord, for comforting, for helping. God, praise you. Bless you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we couldn't praise you adequately. We couldn't tell it like it ought to be told. We can't even size it up in our own hearts. But for what we know, we give you praise. For what we understand, we give you blessing. We just bless your holy name. And Father, may the high praises of God be upon our hearts and our lips. Father, we give you blessing tonight for the praise protocol. All God's people said, amen. You can be seated. One more protocol tonight. Anybody want to guess? Singing protocol. Now look at this one, Psalm 100 verse 2. There's a reason why our church services begin with singing. And by the way, the song leader brother, that was good. I enjoyed that. That was wonderful. Now look in Psalm 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with... come before his presence. That's the protocol, isn't it? You come before the presence of God with singing. Now that word singing means to shout for joy. It's the voice of triumph. Come before his presence with singing. There's celebration. There's rejoicing. Psalm 95 verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. A joyful noise. You know what that word means? Split the ears. That's what it means. To split the ears. To shout for joy. Sound the alarm of triumph. That's why I like Friday night on the East Coast prayer dance. Because we've all cleansed our hearts out. We got everything under the blood. We're wide open. We get in there and start singing those hymns of praise. And I'm just telling you, brother. I'm just telling you. It might be 700 people. You would think there would be 70,000 people at the volume. It's just so powerful because the heart, by the way, revived people sing better. And you don't have to tell revived people, stand up and sing like you mean it. If you don't mean it, sit down and get right till you can stand up and sing like you mean it. Amen. I mean, you don't have to prime the pump on this kind of stuff. Now listen, we talk about exuberance. Now every revival is characterized with heartfelt singing. Because praise is a proper response to greatness. You know what praise is? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What about that? All hail the power of Jesus. All those kind of things. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. That's songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart, that means singing from your heart to the Lord. That means singing with all your heart to the Lord. Now, the last 2 years at our student prayer advance, you know, teenagers sometimes are not the most prolific, exuberant singers. But for the last 2 years, we've had smaller crowds. But there's been total from the heart, wide open from the bottom of the heart to at the top of their volume capacity, singing the praises to God. And I just love it. I just love it, man. I love that atmosphere. I just love that. I love the prayer advance atmosphere. I went to an inner city church one time and had 120 nationalities. And them people are thankful for the blood of Jesus. And I'm right in there with them. Just right in there with them, man, having a big time. And I'm telling you, God's given us three things to refresh our souls. Three things. Nature, friendship, and music. Isn't that right? Why do people come from all over the world to go to the Rockies? Well, it restores the soul. I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. So nature, friendship, thank God for friends, and for music. Now, before your devotions in the morning, you need to listen to music that lifts your heart. I mean, no, not everybody likes the same exact style of music. Can I say that? You know the brother from Kentucky. He ain't going to get into high church and the pipe organ. They ought to scrap that thing and get some money for the aluminum. Amen. I'm telling you, it's just. But that appeals to some people. Okay. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the secret. It's not the style of the music. It's the spirit of the people singing the music. In that tent revival, I don't like none of the songs. If I was picking out the songs, I wouldn't pick out none of them. But I'll tell you what I love. I love the spirit of those songs. So what my preference is about the songs ain't got nothing to do with anything. I love it because they're singing from the bottom of their hearts. You know, just simple country people getting happy in Jesus. I was under the tent one night. They prayed for a 79-year-old man the night before to be saved. Well, that night, he was up there and he got saved. That's enough to make it was enough to make a Methodist get resprinkled. It, it was enough to make a Presbyterian kick the back out of his choir robe. It was enough to make a Baptist laugh and smile and shout. I'm telling you, it was great. It was just great, brother. And you know, these revival atmospheres, it's just wonderful. Listen to this. I come before the Lord with singing. Find songs that minister to your heart, that exalt the Lord in your mind, that liberate your soul, that lift your heart. Okay? Some people like quartets. How many know that? Boy, they had a quartet down there this morning. They should have been at the prayer dance. Some people like Southern gospel. Some people like other kind of stuff. Y'all with me on this right here? Y'all with me on this right here? And we're not talking about Led Zeppelin here. That's not what we're talking about. And young people don't know who that is, and I don't know who the new ones are. So we're not jamming the house down here, brother. But you find the stuff that ministers to your soul, that liberates you and gets you in the presence of God, and come before His presence with singing. That's a protocol. Hey, so here it is, the clean protocol, the gratitude protocol, the praise protocol, the singing protocol. Now, that's the way that God has told us. That's four of the ways God has told us to enter into His presence. And so we're going to practice the singing protocol. Stand to your feet. Let's sing that song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Let's sing it from memory. If you have a hymn book, if you need it. You don't need it. Just let's sing Amazing Grace. All right, let's go. Amen. Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Let's sing it. Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my soul to receive. How precious dear. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Through many dangers, toils, I have already come. Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. When we've been there 10,000 years, sing it out. When we've been there 10,000 years. Two words to the tune, Amazing Grace. Two words, praise God, praise God. How many of you ever heard it this way? Let's sing it to the tune of Amazing Grace. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Go ahead and make up a hand at this thing. Go ahead and just break out of your dream. Go ahead and lift up a holy hand. It's all right. It's all right. We ain't going crazy here. We ain't speaking in tongues. We're just speaking with the one we've got. He's a good Savior. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He's the best thing ever happened to me, Craig. I'm not ashamed to praise Him no more. I used to come into the church house and I'd sit on the back row if I wanted to get excited because I didn't want to stumble anybody. I come in with sunglasses like I was incognito. But I'm at a point in my life where I'm old enough and been through enough. The opinions of people really don't make a whole lot of difference to me no more. And I just want to tell you, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm thankful to Him. He's been merciful to me. How come, you know, my 53-year-old friend checked out, and here I am, and I'm still here. I can't explain none of this other than He's a good God. Amen. Hope this wasn't too crazy. Love you, brother.